This is Molly Hemingway, encouraging you to listen to my favorite podcast, Issues, Etc. Every day you get in-depth interviews with host Todd Wilkin asking expert guests substantive, thought-provoking questions on all of the important news and issues of our day. The expert guests are in culture, law, ethics, philosophy, theology, and apologetics. Expert guests, expansive topics, always extolling Christ. Issues, etc.
It is difficult to consider a decision that affects your life so profoundly, especially when you're young and you think that decision is a long ways off. Culture has been teaching young women that marriage and family are one of those decisions. That's a big decision, but it's not as important as career. And it's a long way off. You can put it off as long as you want. Well, the truth is, you can't. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about young women, careers, marriage, and family, Suzanne Venker. She's a married mother of two children in St. Louis, host of The Suzanne Venker Show, and author of the new book, How to Build a Better Life, a new roadmap for women who want to prioritize love and family. Suzanne, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
You say that one secret to a happy life is playing the long game. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So I truly believe that's where so many women get into trouble, is that they are not taught to think, to play the long game, meaning to think way out into the future about what it is that they want. Because they are exclusively focused, because this is where they're encouraged to focus, on a career and building a professional life, which is fine, except for the fact that there's much more to life than that. And that if you plan to get married and have a family, in addition to pursuing something professionally, there are things you need to know. Like, for example, the fact that whom you marry and how that marriage fares is going to have more effect on your happiness and well-being than anything else you do, way more than your career. And secondly, women's priorities change dramatically when they hit around 30 years of age, somewhere in that time frame. And the things that they thought mattered most tend to fall by the wayside because they become consumed with you know, finding a husband and having kids kind of thing, or just becoming family focused. So if we know this about most women, which we do, we are setting them up to fail when we are not warning them of this long trajectory and how their lives are likely to play out so that they can make decisions early on that will set them up for success in every realm of life.
The culture, as you mentioned, says that your 20s, well, it's kind of a mixed message. First, they say that your 20s are a decade to play and squander. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, so Meg Jay wrote a wonderful book some years ago called The Defining Decade, and it was all about the 20s and how the way we teach and encourage young people now, which is to live it up, live your best life, postpone settling down as long as humanly possible. This is the time of your life. You can come and go as you please and all of that stuff. We're discounting the fact that just about all of our major decisions that we make in life are made by the age of 30. That's what she pointed out in her book, and focused on the fact that these are not really years to squander. They're years that can set you up for success in a big way if you pay attention to them and the decisions that you make during that time. So essentially, the message that we're giving culturally is the opposite of, going back to what I said before, what's going to set women up for success in the future.
The other side of that mixed message is the culture telling young women that they need to maximize their careers until the very last possible moment before having a family. What do you think?
Yeah. So that was something that Sheryl Sandberg said about 10 years ago in her commencement address at an all-girls college, Barnard College. And that's a very, very common, really, it's not just her, but hers was the most well-known for that. They're always telling young people to change the world. And in her case, she used the phrase lean in, and that became a movement. And there's all this attention paid to much larger just a larger mission, like going out and changing the world rather than just sort of focusing on your own backyard and strengthening that, which I think is a much better message. So she encouraged people, women in particular, to lean in to their careers until, quote unquote, the last possible moment when you have to make a decision. And that decision being, of course, whether or not to stay home with your babies. And I made the argument in that Federalist article that that is horrible message, in my opinion. It should be the complete opposite. You need to plan ahead for leaning out well in advance and not at all wait until the last possible minute. So I thought when that all went down some years ago that that was a really bad play on her part. But she has a different mission than I do.
Why don't women know how to find a marriageable man? How do they end up in that situation?
Well, I think a lot of people listening to this, if they're in their 20s and 30s, the first thing they're going to think of, I would guess, is, well, there just aren't any marriageable men out there. And there is no question that we have a huge problem with men falling behind today and that they are not growing up as fast as our fathers and grandfathers did. And women are pulling ahead professionally in a way that men are not. And that is undeniably true. But it is also true that there aren't any parents, there certainly isn't the culture, and there aren't very many parents encouraging women from a young age to be looking for, quote unquote, a marriageable man. And what does that mean? You know, that doesn't mean rich, svelte, and whatever else you might see in the media or in Hollywood. It means just a good, steady man that you can count on for all that you're going to contend with in life. And because you want to make that decision, which is the argument of my book, one of the arguments is to make that your priority and fit everything else in around that, you need to be thinking far out in terms of, well, if you want to stay home, for example, you need a man on whom you can rely for those years so that you can do that, which means basically you just need a steady earner, not a rich guy, just somebody who's on a path, knows where he's going, and stop screwing around with men who aren't a match, I guess is what I'm saying. So if they're encouraged to stop following the cultural script of hookups or moving in and out of relationships that have no real purpose and postponing marriage as long as possible, these messages are not helping women find that marriageable man either. They're encouraging them to just take all the time in the world that they want. And then they find themselves in their 30s looking around and saying, well, where are all the good men gone? And quite honestly, the ones that have been taken were taken by daughters, in my opinion, who were steered the opposite way and said, hey, don't put this off. So there's another way of going about this. And we're just the cultural way is the wrong way, in my opinion.
Suzanne Venker is our guest. We're talking about young women, careers, marriage, and family. On the other side of the break, what financial traps await women who prioritize their career early on?
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Pastor Matthew Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The LCMS operates the second largest parochial school system in the United States. What can you expect from a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod school? There's one race, the human race. And Jesus died for the sins of every man, woman, and child from every land and every nation. Life begins at conception. All life is precious from womb to tomb. And every student, parent, and teacher is created in the very image of God. There's right and wrong, and we know which is which from the Ten Commandments. There are only two sexes, male and female, He created them. Marriage is the lifelong union of one man and one woman. There's such a thing as objective, absolute truth, and it's found in the person and work of Jesus Christ and His Word. To find a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod school near you, visit lcms.org/schools.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about young women, careers, marriage, and family. Suzanne Venker is our guest. She's author of the new book, How to Build a Better Life, A New Roadmap for Women Who Want to Prioritize Love and Family. Suzanne, what financial traps await women who prioritize their career early on?
Yeah. Again, another perfect example of playing the long game. If you know that you want to step out of the workforce someday, and even if you don't know, I always encourage young women to assume that they will, not that they won't, because 99% of them, when they're holding their baby, are not going to be thinking about going back to work. So just know that and expect that. And if you shift your mindset in that way and reprioritize, all of a sudden, all these options open up to you and you start thinking about things differently. For example, what kind of career are you going to choose when you're 22. You need something that is flexible, that can work well with motherhood in the over the long haul. You know, a career that you can step out of, a career that you can do part-time, a career that you can do from home. You know, all these different thoughts about career will change if you plan in advance for that. With respect to finances, it connects to schooling and your choice of career because we have so many young people, men and women included, going into student debt, major student debt, to get a career that for many of them, they don't even wind up using. And that's a financial choice that you make that you wouldn't presumably make if you knew in advance that you're going to step out, because you're going to think, well, how am I going to pay this back if I'm stepping out of the workforce? Because you have to be in the workforce to pay back that student loan debt. So that's an example of finances. And it's not just student loan debt. You have people who are buying houses before they even get married, or they're buying a house based on two incomes instead of one without, again, any thought to the fact that they're likely going to change their mind. And these are financial decisions that if women are warned about, they don't need to get into that trap down the line.
What is a better way to prioritize your life? What is a kind of a organizing principle when you're thinking about your future of work and family?
It's to think about really not so much money and career per se, but what kind of lifestyle you want to live. What do you envision your day-to-day life looking like when you're 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55? Just where do you want to be? What do you want to be doing? And what do you want that daily life to look like? It's pretty clear now, because we had a generation who have touted the whole dual income family, and women going out to work and men going out to work and people putting their kids in daycare and living this very chaotic life. And we are now seeing with the younger generation, Gen Z, that they are pulling back and they're saying, that's not for me. I'm not interested in that. And the research shows that that is clear. They are stepping back. Now, there's more than one reason why they're stepping back, but that is a clear aspect of it. So I think younger people are starting to, because they were on the receiving end, let's say, of that lifestyle, I guess the advantage to the previous generation having done that is that the newer generation can reject it. I guess everybody generationally can sort of overcorrect or go the other direction when they were unhappy with what they saw. But it's really just about thinking far out and making decisions that will work for you 15 years from now, not just tomorrow. I mean, even when it comes to, you know, there's a lot of young people who in their 20s and they have these relationships that are going on for years and they're postponing getting married and they're moving different states for jobs. And everything is just getting delayed, delayed, delayed because they're prioritizing the career or the job over the relationship. And my argument is, if you've got a relationship that works and you're in your 20s and everything's good, and the only thing keeping you from getting married is this incessant focus on work, don't do that. Reverse that. Put your relationship first. If you have found your person, invest in him or her and make the other decisions orbit around that. Because that relationship, if it's headed toward marriage, it's going to color everything else you do. That one decision colors all the rest, and it dictates what direction your life takes. So the weight needs to be on that choice, not on your career. You can always change your career, but you can't just change out a spouse, even though people try all the time. It doesn't work too well. The divorce rate of second and third marriages are notoriously high. So it's just our priorities are all messed up, bottom line. And we need to shift it completely if we want to be successful as women. And of course, that affects everybody else too. I'm talking about women, even though this is very much an interest of men's as well for obvious reasons. And it affects children positively as well. But I'm focusing on women because they're the ones who kind of drive the boat on this. And they're the ones who've been steered away from family, marriage and family all these years. So it's really they who we have to pull back in.
The psychiatric and psychological community are finally acknowledging that, you mentioned before, guys are lagging behind women in growing up. Some are saying these young men between 20 and 30, they refuse to grow up. They are working as little as possible. They are sitting in the basement gaming all night long, sleeping late in the morning, basically extending their adolescence and the worst parts of it. That sounds like a perfect storm if you add that to women being told to defer family.
Could not agree more. These two topics go very much hand in hand. And because it's so overwhelming to think about the hugeness of what you just outlined there about men, and neither one of us are going to change that today, right? I'm saying, let's start with women thinking about marriage and family being really the purpose, the why we're here, what really gives lasting satisfaction, where our priority really should be. And if we're focused more on family, that means we have more attention paid to keeping the family together and what makes marriages work. And when that happens, all of that stuff that you just talked about with respect to men lagging behind presumably starts to fall away. This is a tall order and over time. Because the reason why men are falling behind is because they don't have fathers. That's where it all started. Where does that come from? Divorce. And where does that come from? Deprioritizing marriage. So there's a pattern here, and it has to start with someone or something that is viable. And I feel like helping women get really what they're going to want down the road and teaching them how to get there is going to have more effect than trying to fix this problem with men today, which again is almost bigger, in my opinion, than the other issue. But they do go hand in hand, you're right.
So talk to that young woman listening. Why should she think carefully now? She thinks of marriage as this distant reality. She wants to do it, but not now. She thinks about her future career as maybe more imminent. Why should she think carefully about her future marriage and family?
Well, for a couple reasons. One, like I said earlier, her priorities are going to shift. She can count on that. The way she looks at the world at 32 is very different from 22. That's number one. Number two, her ability to be happy later in life is predicated on having made good decisions early on, because the decisions that we make in our 20s, going back to that defining decade book by Meg Jay, is that they stay with us. And the earlier you get on it, the better you set yourself up for success. So you don't want to think of these decades as like separate entities that don't connect, because they do. This is not to say that if you are in your 30s and you're listening to this and you quote unquote miss the boat or whatever on the kinds of things I'm saying that you should be thinking about when you're younger, that you're doomed. You can rebuild your life. I'm an optimist. It'll be harder, no doubt, because otherwise that would discount everything I just said about the earlier the better. But you can always stop and choose to reprioritize and rebuild your life. It's going to be harder and the decisions will be more difficult, but that doesn't mean it can't be done. So it's a very optimistic book in the end. While it's kind of focused on young people, it's also got the whole theme of it is it's never too late. So it's very helpful. any one of us can choose to, it's like losing weight or building wealth or changing careers, anything that we want to do that's daunting, this can be done at any stage of life. It's just, I'm trying to hone in on the early years to make it easier for young people to get what they want, but to also understand that I work with 30-something women who are very miserable. And that's what prompted this. You know, for the last 5 years, I'm seeing them day to day, face to face every week. And it's all preventable. It's so preventable. And that's what's so frustrating for me. They were steered for political reasons in the wrong direction, only to wind up in this space where they're like, this sucks. This isn't what I want. I can't get there because I was taught this and now I've got that. And how am I going to undo this? And, you know, it's just kind of a mess. And that's how this book came to be.
You list four truths to help young women think about their future. What are those truths?
So they are as follows. Number one, whom you marry is the single greatest decision you'll ever make. Number two, career success alone will not make you happy. Number three, the biological differences between men and women are real and they are hardwired. And number four, you can have it all, just not all at one time. I think those four things, if women had those up on their refrigerator or just planted in their brains at all times, that would really change the decisions they make and would allow them to build a life that most women ultimately come to want, which is a very family-focused life where they have more choices down the road and allow all those other decisions, you know, career decisions and whatever else, orbit around that center, that focus.
Suzanne Venker is our guest. We're talking about young women, careers, marriage, and family. We'll go through those four truths one by one after this.
This is Molly Hemingway, encouraging you to listen to my favorite podcast, Issues, Etc. Every day you get in-depth interviews with host Todd Wilkin asking expert guests substantive, thought-provoking questions on all of the important news and issues of our day. The expert guests are in culture, law, ethics, philosophy, theology, and apologetics. Expert guests, expansive topics, always extolling Christ, Issues, Etc.
The way we as Christians view history is going to be different from how non-Christians view history. As a Christian, you already know what history is about, Jesus coming to save you. So wrote Molly Lackey in her inaugural article for Our Great Heritage, a new series at the Lutheran Witness online website on the history of the Lutheran Church and great historical figures in our history. To learn more, visit witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Hey, young adults, are you finding it harder and harder to meet and connect with other Lutheran men and women? Join us at University Lutheran Church in Champaign, Illinois on Saturday, April 6th for the Martin plus Katie Conference. We'll talk about being men and women in Christ, meet new friends, get to know each other, and have fun. Register at martinpluskatie.org. That's martinpluskatie.org. Registration closes on Palm Sunday.
Teaching your student to read should not be complicated. Memoria Press's Phonics uses common sense and the classical approach with their First Start Reading program for the most effective and efficient way to teach your child how to read. If you're interested in learning more, visit them at memoriapress.com and use the coupon code LPR24 at checkout. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Suzanne Venker is our guest. We're talking about young women, careers, marriage, and family. Suzanne, before the break, you walked us through these four truths for prioritizing love and family at an early age. Let's go through them one at a time. in a little more detail, beginning with the person you marry is the single greatest decision you'll ever make. That's in stark contrast to what the culture is telling these young women, that her career is the greatest decision she'll ever make.
And yet, you and I have been married decades, right? It's so obvious to you and me. It's obvious. But how do you get that across to them? Well, it would help if the culture would tell the truth. I don't know. The people who are married either are lying, that are in power, I mean, or they don't agree because they are happy being single or what have you. But most people don't relate to that. So that messaging that's coming out of the from the cultural elites, that may work for them, but that's not going to work for the average Joe in America or Joanne. It is true that who you marry is the greatest decision you'll ever make. It colors everything else. It's going to determine where you live. It's going to determine whether you're happy when you wake up every day. If you're not happy, you're going to be miserable. And then you have to figure out how to get happy with that relationship, right? You've got to focus in on that and invest in that, because you can't just swap him or her out the way you can a job. It's so logical. And yet it's not taught at all. It's like common sense, but nobody wants to say it.
Career success alone will not make you happy. How do you convince a young woman who's focused on her future career that, as you said several times in our conversations, your priorities will change?
And that's what I keep coming back to, is that it's a very rare woman who gives birth. Well, who doesn't give birth. Let's start with that. Most women do eventually. And then when they do, who just want to leave their baby and go back to work. That's an extremely rare, unusual woman. I don't think I've met her yet. So, I mean, I'm talking about want, not has to or feels compelled to, but like actually wants to. You're going to want choices at that time. You're not going to feel compelled to go out and make money when you have a baby. You're going to be compelled to take care of your baby. And that's something that, you know, if it's not fostered early on by parents, I really think that it comes down to parenting for this. I don't know where they'd ever get it, young women, because all they're getting is career, career, career. They're certainly getting that in the media, and they're absolutely getting it in schools, starting in high school and then in college. So really, the only people left to counteract that message are parents. I'm convinced that most parents don't. They just follow the status quo, or they don't know what to do about it, so they do nothing. Or it's really the people, the very countercultural parents who, religious families, or at least not necessarily conservative per se, although sometimes it falls on those lines, but just free-thinking, countercultural parents will instill these types of things, but not the majority, not the average family today. And I think it used to be certainly a typical message back in the day. These are kind of timeless messages. They don't really change with the era. Career success alone will not make you happy. Well, that's doesn't matter what era you live in, what decade you live in, it's just going to be true for most people. The older you get, the more, no matter how exciting your career is when it starts, you know, you do it often enough over a long enough period of time, and it's just a job at the end. You're replaceable. You're always replaceable. And I think that's really hard for people to hear, because they want to believe that they're irreplaceable in the workforce. But the truth is, you're just not. But you are irreplaceable at home. And so to me, that's where you should be investing the bulk of your time and energy in terms of when you're looking at your life in the long haul. I mean, at any one particular time, you might be more invested in work than family. Depends on what stage of life you are in. But well, woman's life has seasons. So you really got to be, again, going back to playing the long game. This is going to be important to you for this decade. And then this, like right now, I'm getting ready to launch this book. I'm an empty nester. The whole way I'm going about it feels different from when I tried to do it, even when my kids were in high school. You know, even then, when you presumably the whole, you know, all your time opens up to you, you're never really free in that sense to direct your energies until, for me, this stage of life right now. And that's another message that isn't getting across to women, is that her life, their life, has seasons.
Why is it important to maintain that third truth, that biological differences between men and women are real and they're hardwired?
Because you can give up on all this equality junk and stop playing tit for tat and stop trying to be independent of men as though working as a team, which is what it's supposed to be when you're in a relationship and or married, and being interdependent, dependent upon each other, is the only way that relationship is going to work. And all they're hearing from the culture is retain your independence, never combine your accounts. A big thing now is his and her accounts. When you're married even, like that's normal. You just, what do you mean you don't? Of course you don't combine your accounts. You'd think I'm telling people to do something horrible when I say your money is one when you're married, just like everything else. And so again, that's just an example of another message that's setting women up to fail at marriage, in my opinion, because you're not really married if everything's separate.
And you have been saying this for years, as long as we've been having conversations to women, you can have it all, just not all at once. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So that goes back to what we were just saying about a woman's life has seasons. If you look at your life over the long haul, once again, the long game, you will end up at the end of your life if you want and you map it out accordingly and make smart decisions. You can end up having it all in the end. That's a very different message from go out and just do it all at once, which is all women have heard for the last several decades, which is why I've been talking about it for so long. You simply cannot have it all at one time. Something's got to give, and usually that's going to be your relationships. So that's why it's best. Again, it's not a matter of no work ever for women if you want a family, but it is a matter of how can you orbit that effort around the greater and more important priority, which is your family. If you do it in that way, then down the road, you can look back and say, oh, I have had it all. Just I didn't do it all at one time. I did it piecemeal.
You include a chapter in your new book on daycare. What does daycare have to do with this?
Yeah. So if you are not privy to the significance of the early years of your child's life, specifically the first three, but this could even go into the first five, and you don't have any experience with children, which is really common today for young people. You know, in my day, you babysat as a teenager. I mean, I did constantly, all for 4 or 5 years. In my day, people had more hands-on experience with children, babies, that is, babies and toddlers, but young people don't have that. So they really don't know anything about this time of life. And they just don't have any experience with babies, and you're not taught anything in schools. So if they're being steered toward this supposed great life of where the career's at the center, then invariably you have to do something with the baby when you have him or her, because he's going to get in the way of this other more important priority. And so what is that thing? Well, it's going to be daycare unless you can afford a nanny or you have a family member. So the vast majority of people are just going to turn to daycare as sort of like a babysitting service, thinking that it is harmless and okay because everybody's doing it, just like smoking once upon a time. It seems normal because everyone's doing it and now we know otherwise, same kind of thing. And so you're going along and you're just doing what everyone's doing. But what we're seeing now is, for one thing, you have mothers who are bereft at leaving their babies. Clearly, the babies should not be apart from their mothers. So they're upset and they drop them off at daycare at 6 weeks and then they try to go to work and they're crying all the way to the office. And then they tell their friend about it and the friend says, it'll be fine. It's okay. This is normal. They'll get over it. It'll get better. And it's not better. Of course, it's not better because they don't understand what's actually going on in those early years and the significance of their presence in their baby's life, because why would they? No one's told them anything. So they're figuring it out sort of as they, some of them aren't figuring it out because they're just ignoring what's really happening inside them because everyone's telling them, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. Or I hear from a lot of women, of course, who are doing something about it and they're like, this is ridiculous. I'm not leaving him or her. And then they have to make all these different decisions about their life, financially, career-wise, where to live, all of this, because they're just now realizing, wait, this isn't good for baby. I can't do this. Once again, if I'm telling you that in advance in this book, and you're playing the long game, and you have this information, you start earlier without ever planning on putting your baby in daycare, so that you don't end up in that boat that these women are in.
Suzanne Vanker is a married mother of two children in St. Louis. She's host of The Suzanne Vanker Show, and author of a new book, How to Build a Better Life, a new roadmap for women who want to prioritize love and family. You'll find a link to this new book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Suzanne, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
We will discuss diversity, equity, and inclusion ideology with Dr. Scott Yenner, professor of political science at Boise State University, right after this.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod cares deeply for those who protect our nation. Are you or a loved one currently serving? Ministry to the Armed Forces would like to help. We provide devotional literature to encourage faith. Send your mailing address to lcmschaps@lcms.org or call us at 314-996-1337. Those in uniform are comforted with Psalm 28. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him and He helps me.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Criticism.
I just had to call in to respond to this week's installment of Never Trump Drivel from Terry Mattingly.
Compliments.
I love the interviews and insights because they help me battle the slings and arrows of outrageous theology in practice.
Clarification.
Is there a point where, without baptism, infants go to heaven, and after which time they go to hell if they're not baptized?
The Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382.